We are once again grateful to the Lord that we can be here. Many of us have a certain smile on our faces when we think of Sunday. Others are deeply saddened. Both can be taken as one wishes. I myself have experienced such sadness in the last few days as I have rarely felt before. A sadness that surely means what Paul says. It is a sorrow that cannot make us regret if it has been brought about by the Spirit of God. We who have been in Ledeberg have certainly seen and heard everything, and we would like to say as little as possible about it. We are only grateful to the Lord for the grace He has given us, and that we can walk a straight, a paved, an orderly path without thinking we are something. I must tell you quite honestly, anyone who is still full of themselves at this time has not yet understood what is going on. First, the Lord must humble us, must break us down, so that we sink down at His feet, and like disciples are ready to hear what He has to say to us. And if anyone steps forward thinking they know a lot and will tell the others, everyone sitting there will realize that such knowledge is completely useless and does not help anyone. I have practiced brotherly love, and I believe I can say that after all these years. I know that when the first meetings with brothers from outside were to take place, the Lord gave a prophecy here in the congregation through Sister Rus that I should not withdraw to the second row, but take the place that God had assigned me. I ignored it and did not take it seriously, and we experienced many things that caused damage. And I think I failed again on Sunday by wanting to give my brothers priority on the one hand, but on the other hand, not allowing God to have His rightful place through my actions. And it moved me so much and brought me down that I still haven't come to terms with it. On the other hand, we know that God does not allow anything to happen unless it is His will. We meant well. And as I sat there on the platform, I could have looked at the clock during the morning meeting while the brother was speaking and reading all these quotations. But suddenly, I believe it was the way the hand of the Lord came upon the men of God when a word was revealed to them. As if out of the blue, the word of the Lord came to me. What happened then is happening again. I could have stood up and said, "Thus saith the Lord," because of the word that was given to me, without knowing where it was written or in what context. But the word came, "The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the seat of Moses." And the Lord spoke to all the people and to his disciples and exposed the scribes. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke in me, saying that the same thing is happening now. At that time, the scribes and Pharisees referred to Moses as their prophet, as their man, and quoted his sayings without having the revelation of the Holy Spirit, without placing them correctly in the Bible. I held back, otherwise I would have interrupted him and said what needed to be said. But on the other hand, this gave us all an opportunity to see how they preach, especially over there, and all those who have adopted that way. And it certainly touched our hearts and filled us with great sadness that such things are happening in our days. It does us no good to talk about lofty things if we have not learned the ABCs of the divine order, if we do not understand how to esteem our brother higher than ourselves, but are puffed up with pride, blown about like a balloon, tossed here and there by every wind. That is of no use to anyone. When I came here just now, because I did not have time before, I looked up what the Lord said to his disciples and to the people at that time. You will find it in Matthew 23, verses 1 and 2. I will write about this in English and in German and in all languages. For me, it was an answer from God, something that needs to be said to clarify what is happening at this time. It says here, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." You only need to read on, and then perhaps from verse 13, where the Lord Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." At every opportunity, whether appropriate or inappropriate, they had Moses as their man, as their prophet, to hide behind. And we can read very clearly in the Bible that everything Moses said was fulfilled. And if we read it very carefully, we see later how the apostles correctly placed what the prophets had said. Let us take Moses, this great prophet of God. It was not only the scribes and Pharisees who spoke of him. When Peter gave his sermon after Pentecost, he says it right here. We can look it up in the book of Acts to see what Peter says about it. In Acts 3, from verse 22, it says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you." Peter, as a man full of the Holy Spirit, with a divine commission, was able to place Moses and his statements biblically for the blessing and edification of the church, for the enlightenment of what was foretold then and fulfilled now. the scribes proclaimed, used, and mentioned Moses as their prophet in a completely different way than the apostles did later. We know that the scribes referred to Abraham in exactly the same way, and that made the Lord somewhat displeased. When they said, "Abraham is our father," he said, "Your father is the devil." That was a very serious statement, very brief, without introduction or explanation. He said, "Your father is the devil, and you do his works." When we read later what Paul has to say about Abraham, how he places him biblically, I just opened Romans 4, and there are many scriptures where Paul talks about this great man of God, and also James. In fact, the whole New Testament consists of correctly placing the statements of the prophets in order to give God's people an overview of what the Lord had in mind. Here we read several times, it would almost be worth counting how many times the name Abraham is mentioned here in Romans chapter 4. We don't want to read everything, but it says here in verse 13, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." And then, verse 18, "who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to the promise, so shall thy seed be." We all know these scriptures and see clearly what a difference there can be and is in the use of the same person, the same name, and in this case, the same prophet. For some, it's about hiding behind him, using him as a figurehead, and others are concerned with placing biblically what has been spoken and revealed through the Holy Spirit. I must say, I have been so torn inside by everything that has been going on that I will certainly need some time to come to terms with it. When I think of the wonderful way in which God's Word has been revealed, and the Lord has used His servant and prophet, and what is being done today throughout the land, it must tear our hearts apart. There's no other way. These things are not somehow independent of what is happening now, but in some way we are all affected. We are all accused. We are all identified with what is happening. And that is why it touches our hearts. But we know that God will come to His right. And I personally believe that we should pray more and thank God more. It is not a matter of all the knowledge and understanding we have. It depends on whether God can reveal Himself in us and through us. Whether the nature of Jesus, whether His life, whether His Spirit will prevail, or whether we still have to have our own way. I believe we have learned at this place to renounce ourselves. And I think all those, or all of us, who want to be something, it soon became clear that we are all nothing. And everyone else must learn that too, they must learn that we are nothing and have nothing to offer, but are truly dependent on the grace of our God alone. The Lord Jesus drew the attention of the crowds and his disciples at that time and said, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." And it says here, "They have burdened people with heavy loads, enslaved them, all under the banner of Moses, our prophet, and have ruled over them, controlled them, and dominated them." The Lord said, "I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I have come to set them free." He said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden." Let me say it plainly, anyone who misuses the message, the prophetic message, to enslave other people, to burden them, has misunderstood what God intended. The Lord sent the word to deliver us. We were all enslaved. He sent a word of liberation, of calling out, that God's people would be led to the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle, that they themselves could hear what the Lord had to say to them. And I believe that is what has happened at this time. The Lord Himself has ensured that we have not mixed anything up from what was said, that we have not added anything, and we have not taken things out of context, but as the apostles were granted to place the events of that time biblically, so God, by His grace, has given us the great privilege in this time to place His work biblically, without presuming anything. We may say this in all humility. We have gone through it often enough. When the four evangelists wrote down the four Gospels, they were guided by what the prophets had foretold. And when the apostles wrote their letters, they showed how the Old Testament word had been fulfilled in the New Testament, especially when we read the epistle to the Romans and to the Hebrews. How many scriptures are listed there? Everything is harmoniously intertwined, for the same God who spoke in the Old Testament fulfilled it in the New Testament. The same Spirit that rested on the prophets rested on the apostles, so that they could bear witness to God here on earth in heavenly harmony, that it would be immortalized so that all could read it and come to the knowledge of the truth themselves and form their own judgment about what God has done. We are convinced that God has not started a new religion or given another Bible, but that He placed His word upon the lampstand and revealed the hidden mysteries, and the revelation has come to call out the people of the Lord, to connect and unite them on the most holy foundation of faith, and that is the foundation of divine revelation, so that we may forget and forsake all intellectual reasoning and let ourselves be built up for an holy habitation of God in the Spirit. What we heard on Sunday reminded me of Ezekiel 13, where it is written about the foolish prophets who give in to their own spirit and present as prophecy what they have not seen. You can read the first verses in Ezekiel 13. I believe that none of us felt comfortable with this, for we know that Jesus Christ, as the only sacrificial lamb, was slain for our redemption, for forgiveness. Yes, everything we will ever have has already been given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. We do not need to emphasize or add anything, but we know what the Lord has done for us is well done. And you can understand that I did not read the scriptures that I wanted to read. The Spirit of God will never mix with what people serve up. The Spirit of God was so grieved that he withdrew, and therefore this serious admonition. I felt hot and cold on the platform. But thanks be to the Lord, he found a mouthpiece through which he spoke, and we were all very happy. And I myself was glad that I did not have to say it, because if I had, I'm not the right man for the job anyway. But God made sure that an admonition was given. We looked at the clock. The sermon began after 2.5 hours. The service was going on for 2.5 hours until the sermon started. Our services last 1.5 hours. But God saw to it that everything was right and let the right words be spoken. And I tell you, exactly as all the servants of God spoke, they did not fumble around with words. They said things clearly and plainly. They fell like mighty chunks among the people, and they had to deal with it. We sometimes think that's harsh, but that is how the Spirit of God spoke. How did the Lord speak to the people? He had words of love for those who sought refuge in him, but he also had words of rebuke in a very serious manner. We believe that God has opened our eyes and anointed them, and we are waiting for him to do something to glorify his name. We make no claims to anything, but we are aware that if God does nothing, nothing will happen, and we have no plans unless God does it. And when we sit quietly in this place without anything happening, we want to gather before the face of God at all times and praise his name for what he has done by his grace. The opening word, "Hear, O my people, I will warn you," it's a very serious word. God gives a warning to his people, wants to talk to them, wants to set them straight, wants them to hear his word and do it. And it says, "O Israel, if only you would obey me." That's the thing. "O Israel, if only you would obey me." To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. This is already written in Samuel. God wanted the heart of the people of Israel, not their sacrifices, not all their feasts. He wanted their hearts. He says, "To whom have you sacrificed for 40 years? Surely not to me." He says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, O Israel, that you would obey me. that you would pay attention to my ways, that you would listen to my voice. That is what this time is all about, not what we can do. O Israel, if only you would obey me, if only you would listen to me, that is what God wants today. God doesn't want so many speakers. God wants listeners. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. How quickly men can be found who come forward to talk and talk. They have not yet really listened. And that is what is lacking. And that's why so many things happen that would not need to happen if everyone would listen properly. And that for as long as divine clarity about what is being to be said has been granted to him. Then later he says, but my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. What good are all the promises to the people of Israel, the daily manna they gathered for 40 years, and God had to swear in his wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And they could have said, Lord, you are with us. You have fed us and given us drink every day. You are with us. God's anger was kindled against them. Even though outwardly the blessings were there, but they did not listen to his voice. They didn't let themselves be corrected. They did err in their heart and followed their own ways. That's how it says in Hebrews 3, where God particularly rebukes the state of Israel, namely the people to whom he had done so great things. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. That's what it says here. And Israel did not obey me. It was the only people of whom he says that he came down to redeem them from all other peoples, as his own people, as his royal priesthood. He has given so much to his people. Today, we are the people of God, the people of the new covenant. The Lord has given so much to us. He has given us food and drink, has fed us with his revealed word, has helped us. He says, O my people, if only you had listened to my voice, if only you had hearkened to the words of my mouth, if only you had heeded my warnings, how often I wanted to speak to you, and you did not listen. Thanks be to the Lord. He has a people who listen. He has people who have long since come down from their high horses, who have humbled themselves in the presence of the Almighty and are ready to walk in his ways. But when Israel did not listen, God said, I have given them over to the stubbornness of their hearts, that they may walk in their own ways. Whoever is not willing to walk according to the thoughts of God, revealed in his word, in obedience to his word, the Lord gives over to his own thoughts, to the stubbornness of his heart, so that he goes on stubbornly, thinking that he knows more than everyone else. A person who is right with God will not exalt himself above anyone else. On the contrary, he will consider himself the least of all, having received grace from the Lord. But here it says that God gave them over to their own thoughts, to the stubbornness of their own hearts. God says through the prophet Isaiah, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But here, after God revealed his thoughts through his word and showed them the way, and they were not willing to abandon their own thoughts and to follow the Lord, he gave them over to the stubbornness of their hearts, and they followed their own thoughts. And then the Lord still says, oh, if only my people would obey me. God has taken so much trouble since the beginning of time. He says, oh, if only my people would obey me, that Israel would walk in my ways. How soon would I humiliate their enemies and turn my hand against their oppressors? That is quite different. That is God's way with us. How often do we think we have to take up the fight against enemy powers? As the Holy Scriptures say, the devil still reigns on this earth. But when we walk in the ways of God, then the Lord raises his hand against all his enemies, who are also our enemies, and he reigns in the midst of his enemies until he made them his footstool. But we must recognize this. We must learn this. Israel did not need to fight at all. As long as they walked in the ways of God, God fought for them. He made the enemies hear something that sounded like chariots, and they fled. And there was nothing there in the earthly realm, but God fought for them, won every battle for them. He says, just stand still, I will fight for you. He could say, as you see the Egyptians today, you will never see them again. He let them sink into the water after the people of Israel had passed through. As long as they walked in the ways of God, the Lord turned his hand against their enemies, destroyed them, defeated them, smote them until they were destroyed, and gave his people victory by his grace. Oh, that my people would obey me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. This is what we all desire, that God's glory may be revealed, that the Lord may stretch out his hand as in the beginning. The early church prayed, O Lord, stretch out your hand. Let signs and wonders happen. Give your servants the power to proclaim your word and give victory wherever your word is preached and reveal your power and glory. And when they had prayed thus, the place was shaken and the Lord blessed them beyond measure. I have a deep longing in my heart that we grab hold of God, that we may hold fast to God, as Jacob did, and say, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That we do not just go along, but have a new experience with God. There is no other way to help us than the way the Lord has prescribed for us. And when we take up God's thoughts and believe God's word with all our hearts and walk in his ways in obedience, then his hand will rest upon us for blessing and upon our enemies for judgment. He will give us victory and defeat our enemies, so that it may be revealed that God is on our side. We have nothing to demand. We are nothing, but we rejoice that we have found grace before Almighty God. We desire nothing else but to walk humbly with him until it pleases him to crown the humble with victory, to have mercy on them, and to reveal his power and glory among them. We do not want to judge. On the contrary, we want God's people in all corners of the earth to recognize the truth, to be set free from themselves and from all error, so that they may be united with the truth and filled with the Spirit of truth, enabling them to walk in obedience in the ways of God. We will not cease to pray and plead until the rest have also come, who are also part of it, and who recognize the ways of God and are ready to walk in them. May God create in all of us such deep compassion for our condition, for all our brothers and sisters, that what is written in Ezekiel 9 may be fulfilled. Those who wept and mourned over all the abominations and afflictions that were among the people of Israel in the city of the Lord, they were marked so that they were not killed when judgment came upon the city. God has a people on earth who do not live for themselves, who do not feel for themselves, but in whom the Spirit of God can work certain things that are not accessible to others, because we want God to bless us, to make us a blessing. We want to be at peace with all people, but first, we want the peace of God, which is higher than all understanding, to rule our hearts and minds. And I hope we have all understood this correctly. We are glad that God had servants and prophets, and there is no place, except perhaps in America, where Brother Branham's tapes have been heard, where so many sermons have been heard, believed with all the heart, and accepted as they have been here. But we say it with all boldness. It is not about the person of Brother Branham. It is about the revelation of the Word, that it is placed biblically, that the people of God are given a clear divine foundation on which they can stand. We have seen it. The scribes and the Pharisees, they had Moses as their number one prophet. It was no different. They spoke of no one as much as they spoke of their prophet Moses. He had received the word of God. He had this and he had that. He had the commandments. He had received so much from God. And they spoke of this every Sabbath in all the synagogues, in the temple. And the Lord says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Everything they tell you, they do not do themselves, but they burden you with all kinds of burdens, and they themselves do not touch them with a finger. And they have taken away the key of knowledge, and they themselves have not entered, and they have hindered those who wanted to enter. The Lord has judged them severely. Thanks be to God for our beloved Brother Branham, for his ministry, for what God has done through him. But it's not just about the prophet here and the prophet there, or Branham here and Branham there. It is about how Peter, how Paul, how all the apostles placed the word of prophecy. That is what this time is all about. And that is our task, and may God help us and give us strength so that we may have the entire testimony of the Holy Scriptures, that of the apostles and prophets, together as a whole. And then Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and also the capstone. He is Alpha and he is Omega, and he will bring to completion what he has begun. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word. My God, you are holy, your word is holy, and all your deeds. You have sanctified a people for yourself in your truth, people who walk in your ways, who are obedient to you, who submit to your mighty hand, who want nothing of their own, who want to be nothing, who have only one desire, that you may be exalted and glorified among your people, as the head, as the author and finisher of our faith. O my God, our hearts are moved anew to thank you and worship you for all your grace, love and faithfulness. You watch over us and are with us all the days of our lives. You have made us more grateful, and we pray to you in all humility for all our brothers and sisters. O God, let no one perish, O Lord, but help and intervene. If it is possible, O Lord, help and be gracious. We ask all this for the glory and praise of your holy name. Amen.